Good morning. My name is Cor. I'm on the pastoral staff here at Hope. Glad you're with us. Special welcome to those of you who might be newer to Hope. Don't know if this is me, don't know if this is the Spirit, but just there's trial. There's suffering in life. And the Bible's pretty clear that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of comparison with the glory that's to be revealed to us in Christ for eternity. Whatever you're going through, don't know what it might be. Some of you maybe just had a baby. Some of you maybe just adopted a baby. Maybe some of you are going through relational struggle that you've never had before. For the Christian, for the one who has come to understand the depth of the cross and the depth of Jesus' sacrifice and his love through that, that is expressed through that, this is as worse as it gets, guys. It only goes up. It only gets better. Don't know if that was for you or for me or who, but want to just share that. Hopefully you recognize just the glory and the blessing and the beauty of Jesus this morning. Where are our gardeners, our green thumbs, our eco-friendly people out there? Hands high, raise them up high. Okay, I'm about to make fun of y'all just so... Just want the people around you to know who it is. We did some gardening at our house over the weekend. In these last 2 days of gardening, it far surpasses all of my work in all of my years of gardening up until that point. I had done very little, if any, gardening in my life. But we did some gardening this weekend. And I don't know about you guys and conversations maybe that you've had with gardeners, but if one gardener gets together with another gardener, there's just like, you have to tell each other what's going on. It's just part of like being in that mindset. Just, you know, I got these plants. And they're not making it. They're not doing well, not getting enough sunlight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a shovel underneath that plant. I'm going to get it out of there. I'm going to bring it over and put it where there's more sunlight. And the other gardener's just like, "What? Really?" I just enthralled just the beauty of sharing and gardening together. And then back to the first gardener's just and then I think I'm going to go to Bachman's and pick up a plant that can do better with less sunlight. And the other gardener's just like, "Yes, that's beautiful. That's just wonderful." Well, we're doing some gardening at our house, and we did a vegetable garden. I mean, this is no rookie type vegetable garden. We're starting out, and we got tomatoes here. We got some tomatoes. When you're a vegetable gardener, you call them tomatoes. Broccoli. We got some peppers. You can't see, but carrot seeds. There's nothing to them. It's like pixie dust. What is that? It's like I don't even know if we're planting carrots. It costs money to buy the seeds, but then I pull, and there's nothing there. You just kind of, so we got carrots. We're going to get some carrots. We got some beans. We got cilantro. I think it's just because we like Chipotle, and they say cilantro lime rice. We're going to have some cilantro for us. So we got that in front with some other herbs and spices. It's not just KFC. We got herbs. We're all right there, so. That's on the side of our house. I even got some mesh, got some chicken wire there, going to keep out the rabbits. And then if you flip to the next one, impatience. You know how they got that name, right? I mean, just tough to stay patient when you're planting all these annuals. You know, you got to redo it every year. I let my father-in-law do most of the work. He's got a background in horticulture, so I let him just kind of do everything, and I just handed him tools and all that. But one of the interesting things in watching my father-in-law work is the soil is critical. It's just, he doesn't just trust my urban dirt, patch in my backyard. So he comes the night before we're going to do all this work and drops off two big packs of peat moss. You guys use peat? You guys? I didn't even know what. I always heard that, never knew what it did. Still don't. But we needed peat moss. Then we had the topsoil. And then we had the fertilizer. I'm going to mix all that with my dirt patch and hopefully create a conducive environment in which things could grow up. But talking to him, I said, you know, Steve, my father-in-law, I can appreciate the difference that that has on our front yard compared to what was there. And then the side of our house where it was just dirt, it's cool to see a vegetable garden. I get that. I can see after the fact the difference that it makes. But getting to that point and all points in between, doesn't do it for me, does it? You like that? And he's just sweating, shirt just soaked. And just, you know, nod starts coming, just, yeah, I like gardening. He's just dirty, just filthy, all sweatied up. At my house, he doesn't even get to see this, but a couple times this summer, and he just loves the effort of gardening. Makes no sense to me, just absolutely no sense. But here's where it ties into what we're talking about here at Hope. What happens below grade, what happens beneath what we can see is critical to the life, beauty, strength of the flower, of the vegetable. And the same goes for you and me. In our spiritual lives, in our lives with Christ, what happens internally, deep within us, is critical to the life, to the strength, to the vigor, to the comfort that we experience as spiritual people, as Christian people, those who follow Christ. It's critical. And this work, this internal work, is done by the Holy Spirit. And I think most churches, many churches, we wouldn't know what to do with the Holy Spirit if he showed up. Just, well, one church did. They actually made a sign for him there. Holy Spirit entrance. That's your door, Holy Spirit. There it is. We want to welcome you. There's your door. But I want to read from one person who reflected back some, just a church person, a person who had grown up in the church, a healthy church, a good church. But just to reflect back some of the struggle in this area of the Holy Spirit. It says, how do you relate to something the church largely doesn't talk about? We're going to change that. How do you recognize God in the Spirit when our culture focuses on the tangibles, the visible, concrete, things we can see and touch and taste? The Holy Spirit is so subjective. After all, if I misread his work in my life and say something is the work of the Holy Spirit when it is really simply an act of my flesh, won't the Holy Spirit lose credibility to those I'm telling about his work in my life? That's a good question. It's a great question. It's better just to not talk about the Holy Spirit, not proclaim his work in my life. It's easier to focus on the Father and on the Son. I don't know about you guys, but Father, I get kind of this Gandalfian figure, you know, just kind of old, ancient, beard, wise. And then Jesus praying sideways. No, you guys didn't have that picture at your grandma's growing up. This was my thinking prior to 2 years ago and is often the thinking I run into with other believers who are so quick to question whether or not you are hearing, sensing, or being led by the Holy Spirit. They would rather stick with the authority of the Scriptures. This is a good thing. That's a good little parenthetical comment. This is a good thing. Holy Scriptures, good thing. Because they are tangible. In this way, the Holy Spirit gets put on the back burner. Referenced from time to time, few are willing to peel back the layers of the third person of the Trinity. Friends, we're going to try and peel back the layers of the Trinity, of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity. Holy Spirit playing the role of onion, I guess. We're going to peel back the layers here. We're in the middle of a series called The Certified Purveyors of the High Life. If you're new to us, this is a great time to jump in. The first 2 weeks were very good. The aim of this series, though, just so you can get you caught up to speed, is from a quote by John Owen. The difference between believers and unbelievers, those who really trust, follow hard after God, and those who don't, as to knowledge, is not so much in the matter of their knowledge. We can all Google this stuff. You can type in Jesus, look up. We'll get the same facts and figures to go from. Same Bible instruction to us and them. What is the difference? The manner of our knowing. We receive these facts, but as believers, we receive them in a different way. It means something to us. It impacts us. We look at the cross, Jesus Christ crucified, and we walk away going, I can't ever be the same. I can't ever be the same after that. I can't believe we hung God the Son on the cross to die in my place. I can't go away and say that life is as normal as when I came into the building as now when I'm leaving. No, I can't. I got to change. That impacts me. He came. He died for me. In order to bring great glory to God the Father, in order to show his just immeasurable outrage of sin and his inexpressible kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Inexpressible. Unbelievable. And so our manner of knowing is different than the one who just kind of comes and looks at this and maybe even teaches it at a university but doesn't believe a lick of it. It's different. We're different than that. And that's what this series is all about. Next week's question, if you want to have a text in, love to have you. What do you think about the law? This could be general comments about the law. This could be specific comments about specific laws, if you got a bone to pick. It can be about religious law. It can be civil law. I'm going to share a little story about breaking the law next week. And so what? Email or text courthopecc.com if you want to be a part of that conversation. First week, we talked about it being a God-sized hole. That part of us that wants to be satisfied, and we look at all these ways to satisfy that hole, that's the place God should fill. And our hearts are restless till they find rest in Him. It's not just a God-sized hole, but a God-shaped hole. It's a God-sized hole. And do you want Him? Do you want God? Do you believe that He's good? And if so, do you want Him? Do you want Him? Not just all He gives. Looked at the question last week, is God good? And we have to look through the lens of Jesus. Many people will declare on Twitter, Facebook, in conversation, that they just went through something, and it's allowed them to keep perspective. It just puts a little bit of perspective on things. Maybe some of you have a birthday, it's just like, yeah, I'm getting older. That just gives me a different perspective. For the Christian, the perspective is shaped first and foremost by Christ and what He's done. That gives perspective to everything else in our lives. It starts and in the middle and ends with Christ, and we need to view God through that lens. Westminster Confession of Faith says this, the distance between God and the creature is so great that although reasonable creatures do owe obedience unto Him as their Creator, yet they could never, never have any fruition of Him as their blessedness and reward, but by Jesus, a voluntary condescension, a voluntary act on God's behalf to come and live amongst us, come and get down to our level, become like us. And He does this. He's pleased to do this. And so there is one and only one certified purveyor of the high life. Not many. One. The Father has commissioned the Son and only the Son to bring about the work of salvation. Left you last week with Jesus in the shark tank. Are you bargaining with God? Are you giving Him just a 15% stake in your life, in the decision making? Or are you willing to bump that up and say, all of it. God, I give You all of me for all of You. We're not dividing this up. I'm not just going to take Your salvation. I'm going to take it all. I'm going to take salvation, lordship, union with Christ, Your justification, Your sanctification, glory coming. I'll take it all. And God, I will give You all. No holding back. 100%. Those 2 weeks hopefully should serve to anchor us as we move forward and discuss the inner work of God in our lives. Those two messages, that God is God, and we want Him for Him, and that He is good through Christ, those are our anchor points. So as we go into uncharted waters, We got the big anchor, Christ. He is our anchor. He is the one that's going to moor us to the foundation, and we're not going to get tossed and turned by all the waves. We're going into more subjective matters. This week, the Holy Spirit. Are you guys Twins fans out there? Get to know them. You remember that back when they had just a bunch of no names? Now we have a bunch of big names, but get to know them. And so the Holy Spirit, that's what we're going to do. We're going to try and get to know them in the coming weeks. Did some Google pics to try and help us get started. A little visual. You artistic people out there, yeah, give me pictures. I want to. I'm a math guy. I just assume that's what you guys did in all your art classes. I got this one. I like that one. It's not bad. It's not bad. Fire. Strong. Purifying. A little bit scary. Could hurt. Could be a little bit painful. Burn. So I found something different. I got next. Dove. Biblical, you know. Spirit of God descends on Jesus as a dove at his baptism. It's a little soft. So I went, dove in fire. Yeah. I didn't even have to Photoshop that. That actually somebody took and did that for me. So the artists are struggling too. It's just this Spirit of God. He's tough to get down on paper there. But the Holy Spirit's been called the forgotten God. Why is that? Why of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is he the forgotten one? I asked you guys last week to send in your responses. Woo! And you guys were faithful to do that. Good job. You fulfilled your roles. Awesome. I just wanted to reflect back to you kind of where Hope's at and what you guys are communicating to me, because I, just so you know, like as I'm going through this series, I take that feedback very seriously, and it's more important for me to meet you with what you're asking and the struggles that you're having than to just reflect back to you what some commentator says about the Spirit of God. I really want to allow this to be a hope thing rather than, you know, some bigwig who wrote a big, thick book that no one ever is going to read from front to back. So, number one, he is subjective. He's subjective. The Holy Spirit, if we're going to go and we're going to look at Christ, his life that is captured in the Gospels and his death and his testified to the resurrection and then his we have his work right there, and it's written in the Bible for us, and we can read it, and we just good, objective, anchor, solid, you can't move it. I like that. But the Holy Spirit is subjective. He's forgotten because we think we are enlightened. We're rational. He is a belief of previous generations that we don't need anymore. Fact and science have made the Holy Spirit obsolete. We'll stick to what is verifiable. I worked my scientific method. I have this, and it makes sense. And the Holy Spirit, doesn't make sense to me. Another one, I sometimes feel in the Western world we are so quick to ignore the spiritual world. We are too quick to write it off as too Eastern. I appreciate how Eastern Christians worship recognizing the middle world that exists in the Spirit. Both good. There is good spiritual, good forces of good on God's side, angels ministering, protecting, and demonic bad. You got to be short when you're texting. You know, you just got to, demonic, bad. That's all I want to say about that. So the Holy Spirit is forgotten because he's subjective. It's easier to stick to the Father and to the Son. Number two, he isn't predictable. I can't just trust that he's going to act the same way. The Holy Spirit magnifies this discomfort, pushes us to deal with something we can't completely figure out and translate into laws and formulas. For those of you who have maybe just prayed for counsel, prayed for comfort, prayed for guidance, and not heard anything, you're not getting anything, Spirit of God's not speaking to you, and I just want to predict that he's going to speak. I want to know, I want to be able to trust that, and then I don't feel like he does, and you just struggle with that. Number three, he isn't safe. Some of your old people don't like changing, don't like being convicted, and it's challenging to allow the Holy Spirit to work. Any of these resonate with you? Another one, because the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out, and that means trusting him. He takes us down roads of hardship and suffering that most Christians don't want to go down because it will mean change, healing, freedom. I have Christian brothers in my life who have admitted they don't want to grow. Whew. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to get to know him and grow? Why else is he forgotten? Inconsistency. He speaks to one person one way and another person another way. He speaks to this girl and it's just crystal clear and it's time sensitive. And I want that in my relationship with the Holy Spirit, but I don't get that. I get nudges. I want the articulate spirit. I want what she's got over there, and I just feel like it's inconsistent. Or times when I don't want him to speak, he's up there showing up in my business, and he's talking to me all the time, and then other times where I need him to speak, he's not there, and I don't get that. In people or churches maybe where the Holy Spirit is ministering, theology is usually messed up. People can be immature and carnal. They come up with goofy messages that totally contradict the scripture. We don't have any theology messed up at Hope, just so you guys are clear if you're new. Pristine, bow, no problem. Why is this a problem? Our gospel has a hole in it. Because people like to focus on the Jesus saves part of the gospel and often forget what comes after. Going on, I think many believers can acknowledge there is a spiritual realm, but there is little education or direction in how to engage the world effectively for the kingdom of heaven. We know God is spirit in our head, but how does that transform our thinking and how we engage and see the world? It's good. Number seven, weird. Just weird, you know, just no weird people say that they're following the Holy Spirit. I think they're just weird. I think that's, you know, even as it's depicted in the Bible, tongues of fire, weird. Never seen that before, don't get it. Many times churches where this is being manifested corporately, there's flag waving. It's weird. I don't get that. People fall down. Weird. I don't like that. It's hard. I bring somebody and then they see people fall down and they get worried. They don't want to come back with me. So I want to encourage us to be honest with ourselves. Just, where are you at with that list? And maybe yours isn't up there. That's okay. You don't have to find yourself in that list. Maybe you got something else, but where are you in that? Where's your struggle lie? In connecting to, relating to, experiencing, hearing from, speaking to the Holy Spirit of God. What is it? What's your hang up? I think sometimes for me, it's just the embarrassment piece. I go a little bit high school. I think the Holy Spirit's kind of like, back in the day, we were dorks. I mean, just, we would pull up at stoplights and then roll down the window, try and get the other person roll down their window, and then they'd start rolling down their window and we'd roll ours up. You guys ever? Come on now, this is confession time. Who did that? Am I the only one? That's embarrassing. It's kind of embarrassing that I did that, but it's just kind of awkward for them and just kind of like, oh. You You got me. I'm the moron. Yep. You. Joke's on me. I get worried that that's going to happen to me in the Holy Spirit. It's just like I'm gonna open myself up, and maybe you're gonna close your window, or you know I'm gonna open up to you, and then you're just gonna leave me hanging. I'm gonna open up to you. I'm gonna say I want you, and then you're just gonna embarrass me. You're gonna make me fall down. You're gonna make me say things that are in a different speech. I get nervous that you're gonna embarrass me in public, Holy Spirit. I don't want to be embarrassed. If it means sticking to the Father and Son only and not be embarrassed, I'm tempted to do that and just leave you on the back burner. Where are you at with that? Where is your struggle lie? Where is your difficulty with the Holy Spirit? I want to just take you. This changed last night as I was praying through this, but I want to spend more time here than I was planning on, and I hope that was the Spirit of God that, ooh, that'd be good if it was. Then I could show you guys how he worked. I want to spend some time given your responses. Given your responses. This is not how I would maybe necessarily go about and say, I'm gonna teach on the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you to an at our class, you know, on a Sunday morning. We're gonna walk through who is the Holy Spirit. I'd love to do that, maybe at a later time, but I want to point us to God's Word, be encouraged by God's Word in the ways that maybe hit on some of the things that you guys brought up. So I'm looking at five personal pictures of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to use the fire picture because I like it, but it maybe doesn't communicate personal to you. So just five personal pictures to try and overcome some of these struggles that we have, this distant feeling, this kind of obscurity, just seeing him, but he's kind of veiled or it's foggy. Number one, the Spirit speaks. And right there, half of you just went, there it is, there's my problem. That's that right there, the communication between me and the Spirit, that's my struggle. That's weird. The Spirit of Almighty God, who it says in 1 Corinthians 2, searches the deep things of God. Nobody knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Spirit of God knows all that, and then it's going to talk to me. That's weird. That I don't know how that's going to take place. Acts 8:29 says, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Again, you're like, this just keeps getting worse. That's I don't want to be told to go talk to somebody I don't know. That's the fear. Holy Spirit, that's what I don't like about you. You might do that to me, and I don't want that. I'm concerned about that. I'm going to get embarrassed. I'm going to have to come up and say, I don't know if this makes any sense, but I just felt like I should come talk to you. And they're like, why? Spirit of the living God laid you on my heart. What? Get away from me. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. The Spirit of God says that. And Paul captures that in a note to a younger brother, Timothy. He says, just so you know, Timothy, the Spirit has said people are going to depart. They're going to leave the faith. Just so you know, the Spirit of God has said that's going to happen. And then in Acts 10, it says this, while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. You're like, this is not getting better. This is getting worse. What are you doing? I think for us, the important piece on these three is to look beyond just the statement, what the Holy Spirit says, and to consider the context. Now, these people didn't necessarily know the context at the time. It was, Spirit of God says, and will you trust and obey? Do you believe in the goodness of God and in the Holy Spirit, in his leadership of you, that you will trust and obey? But we get the benefit of looking at the context. We get to see, how did this work out? Spirit of God spoke, they respond, how did it work out? for the top one. Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. He goes over. This guy is reading a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And this reader is just perplexed. What's going on in this story? Holy Spirit of God says, Philip, you can go tell him. You can go explain it. So he does, and then this Ethiopian believes and gets baptized. So context, responding to the Holy Spirit in his voice and his leadership, that's good. Place of ministry, getting to share faith, and somebody responds and believes in Jesus. It's not bad. It's not bad. Holy Spirit could do a lot worse in his leadership. That's good. I like that. Can I skip over to the second one? Third one, Peter's pondering the vision. The Spirit said to him, behold, these three men, rise, go with them. You ever do that? With the people that come to your door, canvassing and trying to sell you stuff? It's like, I'm actually going to go with you guys. And we'll go from door to door together. I mean, this is madness, right? Spirit of God says, people are going to come to your door, go with them. Really? Yeah, and by the way, they're not Jewish people. They're not of your faith. Go with them. They're going to take you to a non-Jewish family. And if you were to go into the story a little bit more, you'd understand the struggle that Peter has with this. But how does this end? The household that he goes to comes to faith in Jesus. That's the context. Spirit of God speaks. Peter trusts and obeys and responds over the course of some exchange. And then faith comes to this household. And so I think I want to encourage you with this and maybe the dozen to 18 times in Scripture where the Spirit of God speaks, people respond, and it's good. And there's blessing, and there's fruitful ministry, and faith comes. Okay? Number two, the Spirit bears witness. From John chapter 15, it says this, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, this is Jesus speaking, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So the Spirit of God bearing witness, providing evidence for, speaking to the reality of what happened through Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his ongoing ministry. The Spirit bears witness. The Spirit gives account. The Spirit helps us to understand all of that. That's what he does. He's in the business of doing that. And so some of this, we actually get to take it to us in this room and say, now let's look backward on our lives. Going forward, I do want to see change come, but I think it helps. If you just look back in your life and just say, when are those times, have there been those times when I didn't know something about God and then I came into an understanding where there was a shift, a switch, a person, maybe a significant event, maybe there was a sermon, maybe there was a song, and all of a sudden I knew God in a way that was different than before. That's the Spirit of God. That's Him bearing witness to Jesus in such a way that you can take it in, understand and comprehend it, and bring about change in your life. So let's not talk about going forward. Look backward first and just say, Spirit of God, where have you shown up? And maybe I didn't attribute it to you. Maybe I just thought, yeah, that's the purity of my heart seeking God right there. That's the beauty of God's creation, seeking God, because I'm all that. Or I figured out the matrix and now I understand it all. And no. Spirit of God at work in your life. Are you willing to attribute past times where Jesus becomes clear as the Holy Spirit's work? Are you willing to do that? Do you see that? That's what he does. In this, he also, smaller, minor point, he will bear witness about me. He. In order to just add to that personal element, Spirit in Greek has a gender of neuter, not masculine, not feminine, neuter. Yet when God in his word grabs for a pronoun, he grabs he. Not it, not an impersonal power, not the force. Personal. He. Number three, the Spirit teaches and reminds. John 14, these things I have spoken to you while I am with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is huge for me. This is huge. Because I'm driving somewhere, all of a sudden just, whew, there it is, just a remembrance of Christ. Maybe an event in my life, just, why did that person come to mind? There's nothing in this car that is reminding me of that person right now. And many times it's coupled with a Bible verse, just the Spirit of truth, bringing things to remembrance. That's what he does. He's a Spirit of truth, and he'll fill my mind with truth and cause me to pray, encourage, follow up on that. He teaches, he reminds. Number four, the Spirit hears. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He hears. He hears from God the Father. He hears from God the Son, and then he responds. And in that way, is an advocate, is a counselor, is a comforter. He comes alongside as the Father and the Son direct. But he doesn't just hear from them. He hears us. He helps and intercedes. Look what it says in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He's our interpreter. This is beautiful. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. So God the Father searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. It's not just the Spirit goes into the deep things of God and then tells us, but goes into our heart, mind, and then intercedes to God on our behalf. Just look at that list. Flip to that next slide there. The Spirit speaks. He bears witness. He teaches. He hears. He helps. That's personal stuff. That's stuff that I do with Jill every day. She speaks to me. I hope I hear. She hears me. She speaks. She hears. She bears witness. We had some friends. They had kids who were sick this week. She gives me testimony. She bears witness. She keeps me up to date on what's going on. She teaches, reminds me of things all the time. And then helps and intercedes as is needed when the learning is slow. These are personal aspects that you do with your own relationships every day. This is not uncommon to your everyday life. This is what you do in all your other relationships. I put a bunch more up, other personal pictures of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't allow Paul to go. He knows the things of God. He possesses affections, can be grieved. He makes decisions regarding who receives which gifts. He possesses knowledge, has a mind. He can be insulted, lied to, resisted. This is personal stuff. This is not uncommon to us. Maybe uncommon when we think of the Holy Spirit, but not uncommon to us. And neither is your list. Flip back to that list there. Subjective? My wife? Yeah. Isn't predictable. Yeah, it changes as the days go by. There's change. What I did then in order to bring love and unity in our marriage, it's different than it was then. I don't now. Isn't safe. I think we got to put qualifiers on that. my wife is safe in one, but I mean, just the piece of like, I can't control her. I can't. She's her own woman there. Inconsistency. Perceived inconsistency. in all of our doings. Theology is usually messed up, not with my wife, but maybe all your relationships, but our gospel has a hole in it weird. This is personal stuff. This is the nature. When you look at your roommate, you see all those things, right? But then all of a sudden when we start to look at the Holy Spirit of God, we think, well, it shouldn't be that way. It should be objective. It should be cut and dry. It should be predictable. As if he weren't a living being. Welcome to a relationship. I mean, that's what I want to invite you into this morning, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Is it safe? No. Predictable? No way. So can you imagine, as I'm seeking to do this in my own life and let him lead and guide and instruct and counsel and move, how it makes me feel now to invite you all, I don't know, 400 and maybe 800 people that are part of Hope. I don't know if I want to open up that can. You know, that has the potential of a lot of weirdness as the Spirit of God moves through this place and in our hearts and minds. You might be thinking, well, I won't be one of those people. You'll be one of those people. I'm one of those people. There's weirdness that comes out when you look at a set of circumstances that anybody looks at and goes, well, no rational person would ever step into that. And the Spirit of God gives you peace and you say, I'm good. No, I'm good. And the friend points out all these circumstances, this possibility over here. You could do this. It makes a lot more sense. Financial, you'd be good in a good place financially and has the potential for your well-being, your long-term well-being, and you look at that and go, I don't have peace. I can't. My spot's over here in the messed up circumstances. And people go, what is wrong with you? Have you lost it? And that's why the anchor is Christ. That's why the anchor is with the question, do you believe God is good? If you believe God is good, then you can, with great faithfulness, in assurance, entrust yourself to the Holy Spirit. As you have believed the Father and the Son to not lead you astray, to keep you in a place of faith, so now, entrust yourself the same way to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's good, and He is God. And if things start to get a little messy in the church body, that's why we got elders. We got elders to keep you all in line. No, we have elders to help us in this leadership, in this shepherding of this. They want to protect us and make sure our anchor is strong. Because if our anchor is strong, then as a church, we can go out. Not just a little bit paddle around the dock. Not just out into the bay or the harbor. Open sea. Why? Because they recognize the great anchor of Christ and they have strong theology and they have good biblical understanding. And as leaders of this church, they're gonna help us and recognize when we need to anchor, wait out the storm, and when we can lift anchor and go. The elders want to lead by the power and counsel and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's their desire. And as they do that, they desire that for each of us. I hope in this, some of the mystique, some of the strangeness, some of the strangeness of the Holy Spirit is kind of dissipating in front of you. I hope some of who He is becoming more evident. His work, as you look back on your life, can start to see His work. But does this matter? Does this matter in everyday life? Not just every day, every moment. This matters. His ministry, his work, what he's doing, his life, his counsel. I want to give you just a couple verses that I cling to, promises that I cling to with life in the Spirit. Can you hit that one right there? This for me, this is huge. Daily, several times a day, this promise is just so helpful, so beneficial. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That is a promise that I bank on several times a day. As I walk by the Spirit, I will not fall prey to sin. As I walk by the Spirit. Why? Because core is something good? No, because the Spirit is something good and great and strong. My goal is not to become a better person. My goal is to grow closer to Christ through His Spirit, to become well acquainted with the Spirit, that I might walk with Him, keep in step with Him. As He walks, I walk and respond to Him. It's life, it's lifestyle, it's ongoing, it's changing based on how He's leading that walk. My concern, though, is a lot of us are trying to live the Christian life, trying to walk, and yet not doing it with the Holy Spirit. Came across this sign. It's like, yeah, I got to think about that. Like, that makes no sense. Exactly. This is Father and the Son, void of the Spirit type of thinking right here. It's like, I want you to live for Christ without the Spirit. Don't do that. That's walking without walking. Romans 8:13. The whole mortification of sin book is built around this verse here, kind of unpacking it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And while I was sharing this in class, I want to stay away from that whole assurance of salvation piece. What? Why is that? Because I don't want you to get into the place where you can justify bad, unholy behavior because you made a confession at one time. I don't want to do that. I want to keep you away from that. What's Paul saying here? I've been told that once I'm in Christ, I'll never die. And stick to, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. I think this could mean lousy life. No peace, no vigor, no comfort, no sharing in the blessing of Christ, impacting others for the gospel, for the glory of Christ. I think it could mean that. But living in the flesh is consistent with somebody who's not made a confession in Christ. So if you see in your life the fact that you're going according to the flesh, I got concerns. I want to talk to you. I want to pray with you. I want to work with you. I want to do everything I can so we see a change. For my sake? No. This is not salvation by works. You believe. He saves. And that belief brings with it a whole bunch of change. That's what I'm talking about. That confession, that initial belief would bring forth much change. And finally, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, listen to the promise. If you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Where are you at this morning? My hope, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is in fact speaking. That somewhere in this last these minutes, I don't know how long I've been talking here, but my hope is that the Spirit of God gave you something, put something forward, spoke to you, impressed, nudged, whatever way, as is consistent with what he does. And that you would respond. Why? Because if we respond to him, whether it's putting to death the deeds of the body or turning to Christ afresh, that's his work, that's his ministry, and ultimately that's where we find life, is in God, through Christ, by his Spirit, all together, life in him. When I ask you the question, will you live in ongoing relationship with Jesus through his Spirit? Will you seek him? Will you be open to him? Will you talk to him? Pray to him? Ask him to come? Ask him to move? Will you be willing to hear from him? Will you live in ongoing relationship with him? What this has looked like a little bit in my life, just to give you a picture, had the Spirit from day one. Took a while to learn to get in step with him, to keep in step with him, to walk with him. By way of analogy, I just want to share a story. I love Jill. I met her back during our years at the U and courted her as a chemical engineer and football player. And then once I got her in, I quit those things and I loved our time of dating, courting, getting to know one another. But it was a special thing to become engaged and have her as my fiance. And then an altogether special, different, wonderful piece of getting married in her parents' backyard with all the gardens blooming from her dad, who's a horticulturist. It does bless at some points, that gardening thing. I had Jill. I had all of Jill. There was nothing that I was lacking in that relationship with Jill. There's nothing that I would say, this is missing, this is absent. But when she became mom, it just met her afresh. All of life just seasoned with blessing and grace and just incredible. That's what I want for you, with God through his Spirit. You lack nothing. Those of you don't, this isn't second tier Christianity that you have to move up your leg. You're not lacking anything. You have God. Just want to experience him in his fullness. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are foreign to many of us. Maybe your presence and your work and your ministry, it might actually bring fear rather than peace. And the thought of opening ourselves up to you might actually not bring comfort, but actually sickness. And my charge to you, Holy Spirit, is to come and move in such a way that the people of hope would be blessed and encouraged and lifted up and counseled and consoled and guided and taught and spoken to and heard from in such a way that you would no longer be a foreigner to us. As we continue to unpack your ministry internally in our lives these next few weeks, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will do it in such a way as is consistent with what we know from the Father and the Son, that you are good and you are God. And we want you for you. We ask this, Holy Spirit, for you to come and move in these ways for the glory of Christ, our King, Lord, and Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Cor. Please stand.